Thanks for waking up with WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Super glad to see you. He could never have been more fabulous, or that would be Rob Center, our fabulous producer. We appreciate his help and hard work. I have to take 2 days off on Monday and Tuesday, so Rob will glue even more pieces together next week. So we're always going to be very appreciative of his help and hard work. On the news line with us now, David Rowe, the freshman state representative, is on the line. 85th District, lives in the Lewisburg area, and has, to say hit the ground running is the understatement. He hit the ground right in the middle of a marathon, and it's just been a very busy, busy trying to super serve his constituents during a pandemic. Good morning, David. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Good morning, Mark. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, we're going to talk about all the different things that you've been doing, and you have been quite busy. Let's talk about COVID on the Capitol first, this idea that one of the House members had COVID-19. What did you know, and when did you know it?
Well, I received one of the notifications that the House sent out. The House caucus sent out the notifications to those who had maybe been in contact with the individual. They did that following all the CDC guidelines, the Department of Health guidelines, that even Governor Tom Wolf set forth in how businesses should handle infections in the workplace. So I received one of those notifications. However, I was actually not in the Capitol the day that the exposure was supposed to have happened. So I received that erroneously, and I let them know that. But they sent that out to the few people that were potentially exposed, and it was all part of the exact same plan that the Department of Health and the CDC have laid out for mitigation in the workplace.
Democrats are not happy with the way all of this unfolded, with a lack of notification on their part. What's your view on their remarks? And I guess I'll just weave into that. Were you satisfied with the way and the timeline that you were told of this?
Yeah, I think, first of all, yes, I was completely satisfied. I think that the caucus handled the situation to the letter of the law. I think when you say that the Democrats are outraged and their reasoning for that, I think all you need to do is really check out either their website or their Facebook page, where they're trying to gin up a lot of faux outrage as a basis for their latest round of fundraising emails, trying to create havoc. They're calling on Speaker Terzai to resign. Speaker Terzai wasn't even notified as part of the protocol. So they're really just trying to use this as an avenue to fundraise for themselves and to perpetuate some sort of fake outrage, when in reality it's everything was done to the letter of the law. Every policy was met, and their outrage is really just a little ridiculous, especially because they remained silent when the governor put a bunch of COVID positive patients in nursing homes, resulting in the deaths of thousands of senior citizens, and they weren't too upset about that, but now they seem to be upset about standard policy being followed in regards to this issue.
When you saw Brian Sims' diatribe on Facebook, what were you yelling out loud in the room?
Well, what I was thinking is looking at all these Democrat legislators walking around talking about how terrible Republicans are for not wearing masks and for not abiding by social distancing, where I have seen them take their masks off to go back to their desks where they'll sit and talk, then they'll put them on to go up in front of the camera to speak, only to take them off, and then put them back on to walk back to their seat where they take their mask back off. And Brian Cutler, the House Majority Leader, drew attention to that yesterday when, unfortunately, the House cameras do not pan the entire chamber. They only really show the spots where the representatives speak from. And the Minority Leader was giving a lecture on the House floor about how more people need to be wearing masks, and it was so irresponsible of Republicans. Majority Leader Cutler pointed out that the Minority Leader needed to offer that same lecture apparently to his side, because from within the Capitol, and again, the camera doesn't show this, none of the Democrats wear masks either. This is all just a lot of hypocritical fake outrage that really is not productive.
We've seen you in Harrisburg with a mask on. We also saw you at the reopen rally probably 3 weeks ago now without a mask. So let's distill that down to what do you tell your constituents about wearing a cloth mask?
Well, is that the, are you talking about the reopen rally in Harrisburg? Because I did have a mask on that day as well.
Oh, I see. Okay, very well. Thank you. I saw one picture. I thought you were in it, but I could be mistaken. You were like third person in on a row of people. But thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. And I posted this on my Facebook page a couple of weeks ago. You know, the medical community seems to be kind of all over the place. So I, not being a medical expert, would hesitate to make a recommendation either way. I wouldn't tell someone to. I wouldn't tell someone not to. I do think that it needs to be, a matter of personal choice to that degree. I also respect the rights of private enterprises and private businesses, as I have from the very beginning of this. I respect the ability of private enterprises and business owners to take steps and precautions that are right for them, their businesses, their family, and their customers. And so if I visit a business that has a mask policy, I'll wear a mask because it's their business, it's their policy. If I visit a store that doesn't have a mask policy and I don't wear a mask and they don't care, then that's also their decision. So I think it's a matter of personal choice, but it's also a matter of personal choice on behalf of the business owners. And I think that's an important distinction. You know, a lot of people ask me, is the mask mandate really a mandate? And the governor's created a lot of confusion there. If you've watched he's been asked that directly in several press conferences, and he does everything but give a yes or no answer. But from what it seems that it is not a mandate for individuals. However, there are industry-specific guidelines that may require masks depending on what the business enterprise is. And so I would just tell people, you know, defer to the business. If a business wants you to wear a mask, it is their business. You know, they can ask you to wear a mask, and you have the freedom to either wear one or you have the freedom to go shop somewhere else.
Yeah, very well worded. I mean, it's just a strong suggestion for you and I, and then if you go into a business...
But it is not a mandate for the governor.
Yeah, not a rule per se or anything, or a new law, anything along that line. House Resolution 836, I almost called it a House Bill, 836, this resolution to terminate, do you think that will have the desired effect in any way?
Well, I certainly hope so, and it's important to realize we had some people expressing concern that ending the disaster declaration entirely would put in jeopardy a significant amount of federal funding. Now, we've had commitments from the U.S. Department of Treasury that is not the case, that federal funding assistance will not be jeopardized. But nonetheless, just making sure that precautions were made, the resolution was amended so that instead of ending the entire disaster declaration, rather it repeals the governor's unconstitutional shutdown order, so that we can maintain a much more objective safety standard, rather than sort of this fly-by-night arbitrary and capricious standard that the governor's been adhering to, which really isn't a standard considering that the goalposts change on an almost daily basis.
What could the governor have done that would have opened this process up to the legislature? You know, maybe some sort of a task force with that it would include, you know, House and Senate leaders or something along that line. What could he or should he have done?
Well, I think there were plenty of opportunities for cooperation, especially when you look at the series of bills and pieces of legislation that the House has passed. That the governor has vetoed, but then subsequently he has, by his own edict, put into law some version of what we passed. You know, he did it with real estate. He did it when we passed the car bill, the other reopener bills. If you go through, I posted this long list on Facebook. There's about 12 or 13 different things that once the House did it first, the governor followed. So there's definitely opportunity there to work together for cooperation. Unfortunately, he seems intent on taking the credit for himself. You know, from the very beginning, you know, something as simple as including the legislative leadership on his shutdown orders would have been useful. As you already know, we got less than 5 minutes notice. We were all sitting in a caucus meeting when he announced that he was going to shut the state down, and he hadn't given us even the leadership a heads up. So there are plenty of opportunities for cooperation, and it's just been disappointing that he's gone it his own, gone it alone this whole time.
Now, don't feel singled out when I say it this way. I've been saying this to all of our elected leaders, and you're next. I'm holding you personally responsible to make sure that this never happens again. This governance, it's not a crisis. It's not even an impasse. It's just not right. So we're holding you responsible. Can you give me that assurance?
Absolutely. And we have a couple of, we've got two avenues that we're working on. First of all, what Linda referenced yesterday, what Representative Culver referenced yesterday, we are tracking a list of everything that has sort of led us into this position, the poorly written statutes that have created the crisis. We're working on keeping a list of those and how we can amend them. And then we're also working on potential amendments to the Constitution, and those would be proposed to the voters, who would end up making the ultimate decision, but amendments that would take away the ability of the governor to veto the concurrent resolutions, the types that would that we just passed, and those sorts of things that create ambiguity between the Constitution and the written statute. But there's definitely going to be a long road of legislative fixes. And I'm not sure how open Governor Wolf will be to signing any legislation that would curb his power, but that might be something that we have to work on in the interim and then be ready to tackle when a new administration comes on board.
Well, we have another minute left, so I'll open it up to you. We haven't talked about really any of the other pending legislation or the budget, but with that minute left, what do you think rises to the top that you want to tell our audience?
Well, sure. I'll just point out that you mentioned the budget. We did move very quickly to pass a budget that is based off of last year's budget with no new tax increases, anything like that, which was a huge priority for me, given that the governor has put the state in such a lurch. We're looking at shortfalls in the billions of dollars, and my biggest concern was that he was going to try to use this as an opportunity to push through large, broad-based tax increases. So I'm very happy that we were able to find a budget that we could move through both the House and the Senate that has zero tax increases, because the people of Pennsylvania have already suffered enough economically and emotionally and physically with this entire crisis. And the last thing that they need right now is for Governor Wolf to cram another tax hike down their throats.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Keep in touch. You have an open mic here anytime to reach out to your constituents and all of our audience. We really appreciate it, Representative Rowe. Thanks for calling in today.
Thank you for having me, Mark. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. State Representative David Rowe, 85th District, Lewisburg, businessman, freshman legislator on COVID in the Capitol and a wide range of other topics.